Welcome to the Ray of Hope Church podcast. We believe that hope changes everything, so get ready for an encouraging message from the Word of God. We pray that you would receive wisdom and revelation as you grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. We can agree with that, can't we? Stand with me if you would. Thank you so much for being here on this lovely day. Thank God for the rain. And what I want to do as we start here, even before we start the message, I want to take out time to pray for all the ones who have been devastated by the tornadoes in Iowa and Nebraska, and of course here in Sulphur and the Davis area and things like that. And I'm sure you guys know more people than I know. So if you would, as we link hands and just pray for that, we know what that's like. Would you just, grab the hand of your neighbor if you feel comfortable. You don't have to go too far there, but we're just going to join together as brothers and sisters. And in the name of Jesus, our hearts are bowed, God, and we pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for the innocent. We pray for all the ones who have been affected by these tornadoes, by the ones who have been devastated. They're looking at it and they're losing hope, God. They're doing their best to walk in faith. They need your hand in their life, Father. And I pray that you would meet their needs where they're at, God. And I also pray that this would be the beginning for some to see your outreached hand from heaven come, and that souls might be won by this devastation, God, that lives would be changed. But Father, we know that they're going to need basic everyday necessities. So we pray that you would provide that for them. We pray for the many organizations out there that are being the arms and the feet, God, that you would work through them and you would use them. Father, help the families, we pray, be with them in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone says, amen, amen. You may be seated, you may be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Go ahead and say hi to your neighbor as we do. Howdy, neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor? No, I'm just kidding. Don't move beside me. I just want to see you at church, right? I'm just playing. Exodus chapter 17, verse 13 is where we'll begin. We're talking about unstoppable destiny. Now, every one of us has a destiny on our life, I believe, from God, Creator God. Amen, Pastor Matt. We have a destiny. Now, every one of us has a future and hope, and we want to understand that the difference between the future is something that is to come. Destiny, we talk about what we become in the future, and even past that, legacy, what we leave behind. See, future, if I pause for a moment, now we're living in the future. It's the things to come. Now, God helps us through our future and promises that he has plans, and we don't always know how they're going to work out, but we do know that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But unstoppable destiny, I want to present something a little different to you, because I believe in each one of us, God has put something that is unstoppable, but we have to chase God for one, and we'll get to that. But there's destiny inside of us that we live back, that whenever we look back on our life 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, we begin to see how God used us and God moved through us, not just to change our own personal life where we might have a bigger house or a bigger bank account or maybe nicer cars. That's great if that happens, but we look back and we begin to see that lives are forever impacted for what God's done through us. Amen. Destiny, unstoppable destiny that's in each and every one of us. And as we start this sermon series, my hope and my desire is simply today that we build a foundation. There's some things that we can look for. Now, Israel, the Israelites are coming out of bondage from Egypt and the Egyptians, and we're going to look at one little story here that I believe gives us a good perspective on some things that we can use this one battle that they were in to help us understand destiny as a whole, because they were on their way to their destiny, on their land, on their way to Canaan land, on their way to the land that flows with milk and honey, and they had some setbacks and they had some things that they had to endure. But we find them here in a place where they're about to hit their first battle. They're about to encounter an enemy, and they're going to have to do some things. And I want to read Exodus chapter 17, verse 13, just really quick, and then we'll get to the story here in a second. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Joshua had a command from Moses to go and fight Amalek and his people. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek. See, the Israelites had destiny on their life, and although they were about to encounter something they've never encountered before, it was the enemy in this case, but they encountered something because the destiny was on their life. If they did what God told them to do, then he was going to be there for them to make it through. And not only win the battle by a little bit, but it says that Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people. So I want us to understand this unstoppable destiny that we have inside of us, to really live to the fullest in what God has for us, that we must go to that next level. It was what we were singing about this morning, where His door is an open, or His presence is an open door. And that's very true. Whenever we get in the presence of Christ, we begin to step through that open door and begin to experience Christ like we never have. But it's also opportunities that God will take us to the next level because of the things that He has planned for us. I mean, this is really no new thing that we see in Scripture. If we see in Matthew chapter 19 and 26, we see, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Luke echoes a similar thing. For nothing will be impossible with God. Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. Jeremiah, Old Testament, chapter 32, verse 17, at the very end, nothing is too hard for you, speaking about God. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? We see that Jesus begins to speak, that Father God takes us through it and helps us understand that there's nothing too hard for Him. But something that we must embrace on the way there is fully realizing that we will encounter things that we will look at and we'll say, God, this is too hard for me. This seems like it's impossible. I've got too many opposing forces that's coming up against me. How do I fight this? Because if we're going to look at something and know that everything is possible with God, then there's some things that I'm going to face in my flesh, in myself, that's just going to simply seem impossible. And we have to own it and have to realize it. His presence will help us out. Shekinah glory, as we sang this morning, Shekinah glory, come down. We want to make sure that we know what we're singing for sure, because when the glory of God comes down, it changes things, amen? It shows us stuff. It burns things out of our spirit and changes our lives and makes us more like God. The Shekinah glory falling down is what causes revivals. It's what causes soccer games and baseball games and basketball games to be canceled, and people run into the house of the Lord and fall down on their face because they encounter the fear of the Lord. That's what we're talking about here, things that will change. The unstoppable destiny inside of each one of us is not there because of us, it's there because of the one that we serve, amen? Amen. And in every one of us, it's in us as we give our hearts to Jesus Christ. How many of you guys have heard this? Fortune favors the bold. You guys ever heard that? Fortune favors the strong, or fortune favors the brave, or fortune favors the educated. You could almost put whatever you wanted in there, but we've all heard sayings like that. Fortune is just another way in some ways to talk about destiny. And those things all help, but I'm telling you, the only thing that's really truly going to help is being in the will of God for our complete destiny. And that's something we must fight for. Now, I've got a bottle of water. I usually don't have this. I got cotton mouth last time, and I started like spitting cotton. You know what I mean? I thought I was going to have to give towels for the first couple rows. Kind of felt like Daffy Duck. You know those old cartoons where they hold the umbrella as he speaks? That's what I thought we might have to do. So, guys, forgive me. We see that if we do this and we do that and we do all these things right, then it seems like more great things happen. And I guess to a degree that's true, but also how many of us know that we can do the right thing, we can be in the right place, we can have the right heart, and sometimes it still doesn't work out like it works out in our mind. It just doesn't. And we're wondering, and sometimes that is because of our bad decisions, sometimes it is because the world throws stuff at us, and sometimes it is because we have an enemy that wants to stop us where we're at. See, one thing that destiny's not about decorations. It's not going to be up on the board behind me, but if you want to write that down in your notebook, it'd probably be good to memorize. Destiny is not about decorations. It's not about these applause from men and accolades that we get sometimes. That's not what it is. Are those bad? No, they're not bad, I guess. But that cannot be what destiny's about. A young woman comes home and she sits before her mom and she has a third place ribbon. And her mom looks at that young lady and says, now, wait a second. I was there at track and field day today and I saw you get first place. Why do you have a third place ribbon? The young lady names the name of the young man that was crying and he got third place. So I just walked up to him and traded him ribbons. I gave him the first place ribbon and I took the third place ribbon. Her mom, so proud of her, embraces her and tells her how proud she is and what she's done. And she just looks at her mom and simply, this was the reply. I don't need the ribbon. I know that I got first anyways. See, when you know it in your heart, you don't have to have the decorations to prove it. And that's how we have to be about our destiny, because the decorations of life will not always line up with the destiny that God's put on us. Sometimes your reputation will get challenged. Sometimes difficulties will happen. Sometimes things won't line up. You know, have you ever heard that old saying? We all have, I got my ducks all in a row. Well, sometimes you get your ducks all in a row and they get out of row pretty quick, don't they? See, with God's destiny on our life, it is unstoppable, but we're doing it at His pace like He wants it. And it's not about the decorations. It's not about that. Now, is recognition good? I think it does help, and it's important, but that cannot be why we do what we do. And that's not the destiny that our Lord and Savior invites us to. His destiny that He invites us to is going to put us in situations that will be challenging. His destiny that He invites us to will put us in situations that we won't understand. He'll put us into situations that we can't comprehend. I mean, that's what He says when He says, come unto me, and He bids us come. I'm telling you, it's the destiny that's unstoppable, but it's the destiny that we haven't experienced, that it's a destiny that we'll encounter day after day as we lay down our cross at His feet. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, that encounter that we have with our destiny will not only change our lives, but it'll change generations to come, all for the glory and power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not going to look like we think it's going to look, but He has it for each one of us. It's unstoppable. His plans will come through. It's just a matter of whether we want to get in our line, in our will, in line with His will, so that His glory can work through us. Amen? And we all have that same decision. But there's destiny inside each one of us. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men who go out and fight with Amalek." You know, sometimes, as we read this story, sometimes we're just going to have to fight, aren't we? Now, let me preface that, because some of you guys got way too excited there. Some of you guys didn't. Some of you guys are, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. That's great. Some of you guys are fighters out there, and I don't just mean the men folks. Some of you women out there are scrappy as they get, okay? They turn into mama bear really quick. I know. I've been married long enough to know how this stuff works. Sometimes you got to fight, though. Sometimes you have to fight for what you believe in. You have to fight for what you know is right. Now, understand, we don't want to go turn to guns and bombs and things like that. We have men and women on the front lines of our military that do that to protect our freedom and our first responders. Can I get an amen? We're proud of those, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have personal protection. But as children of the Most High God, there's a different kind of fighting that we do, that Paul talks about, that we get down on our knees and we begin to reach for weapons that you cannot see, that are not from this world, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's about every lofty opinion and ideal that would set itself up against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we get down on our knees, we raise our hands, and we begin to go after God. We quote scripture, we pray, we cry out, we do everything that's possible, amen. Sometimes we got to fight. It's a struggle. It's not easy. We don't get our ticket punched. We cry out to God and move in His direction. So Joshua did, tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him, and he fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held out his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so that they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, so his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then Moses says, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner." Now, this is very important, because this is the first time we see God's name, "The Lord is my banner." It means Jehovah, or it's Jehovah Nissi. We begin to see that here. So this is the first fight that they're in, and we see Jehovah Nissi, or the name of God, "The Lord is my banner. A hand upon the throne of the Lord, and the Lord will wave war with Amalek, or will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And I'll talk more about Jehovah Nissi tonight, the Lord is my banner. But here we see the difference between destiny and future. We see that they are in the midst of a battle. And what I would say to each one of us is, do not lose the war because you're caught in a battle. The war is the destiny that God's put on your life. He has a place for His children. They had to fight their way out of bondage of slavery, and God did that through sending the 10 plagues and sending Moses. And then they had some other journeys that they had to go on to eventually end up in Canaan land. They even had to walk around the wilderness for a good 40 years because they wouldn't choose to believe what God had put on their life. And the reality is this, that God has a destiny on each one of our lives. It's a matter of whether we choose to believe it. But brothers and sisters, we have to be careful that we do not get into this prosperity thinking and thinking that the destiny is just about me becoming a better me. Jesus did not die for me to become a better version of myself. Jesus died on the cross that way I could die to myself and be alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the reason why he died, so I could be a new creation. Not so I could have more stuff. Now, that's a part of the journey, and that's great, and I don't want to knock it. But the destiny that God has put on each one of our lives is greater than that. It's talking about souls and transforming communities and transforming families. It's about looking to the left and to the right and seeing those people around you. And that's the unstoppable destiny that's on each one of our lives, amen? The other things that come through it, through blessing, is wonderful. But I'm telling you, the ultimate destiny that we have is that souls could be won to the kingdom of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible simply says this, that a wise man winneth souls. So it must be our destiny. It must be what we put in front of our face. It must be what we chase with all of our heart. That God, you have a destiny on my life, and your destiny is to build your kingdom. And however you choose to do that, whether it be through the school system, whether it be through our private, whether it be through the institution that you work at, whether it be through your family, whatever it is, God, we bow our knee to you and you only and not to culture, that this unstoppable destiny would be a part of our life. Amen? Because he has it for each one of us. Yeah, the battle's there and the battle's real. They're in a battle that they've never been in before. You're going to face some battles that you never thought you'd have to fight in your life. Some of you young people, the best thing that you can do, some of you young married people, I'm speaking from experience, is get somebody who's been married twice as long as you have, take them out to lunch and say, tell me about some of the battles that I'm going to be facing. Amen, Pastor Matt, that's good preaching. I guarantee you, you'll get two different opinions. The husband will look at you and tell you one thing, and the wife will look at you and just say, do what he said, you're going to be okay, which is probably, yes, ma'am. No, we have to lead our families, but you take them out because you're going to be fighting battles that you never thought you'd fight. And as we look into Scripture here, we see this first thing that we all know, unstoppable destiny requires God. Unstoppable destiny in our life doesn't require many times what we think it does in the flesh, and we have to be careful not to be carnally minded. We look at things in our life and we look at these situations and circumstances, and we must do our very best to make sure that we have this unstoppable destiny in our life, okay? Moses talks here in Exodus chapter 17, verse 11. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And wherever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. And we see that God is doing something that only God can do, okay? He has him up on the top of the mountain, and he's doing something that only God could allow him to do. How does raising a staff or a rod above your head begin to influence the war that's going on at the bottom? Well, it depends on how you understand the situation, and only God knows what's going on here. Does that make sense? So here we see that that the Israelites is prevailing and they're beating Amalek, and we don't understand the whole situation. Now, if you turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter 91, verses 9 through 11, and they're going to be up on the screen here in 1 second. Psalms chapter 91, verses 9 through 11. And remember, as we have an unstoppable destiny, we must have that unstoppable force. That's the reason why we need Christ. Psalms chapter 91, verses 9 through 11. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. And all of a sudden we see something in that scripture that's very complexing to our natural minds, because we begin to see how things happen in people's life. And like the plague of coronavirus, that was one of the things that entered in my home. I got diagnosed with it, and I had to separate myself like many of you guys had to do. So what is Scripture talking about here? Well, one of the first things that it's helping us understand is if you make the Lord your refuge, why would you have to have a refuge? Because there's going to be some things that you encounter that you're going to have to run to, amen? It's going to be too difficult difficult to understand. You're going to feel like all heaven and hell is falling down on you, if you will, and you don't know what's going on, and you have to run to the Lord as your refuge. If you make the Most High your shelter. Now, this is a very difficult one as well, because we see that it's Lord that becomes our shelter. That means in the midst of the storm, that means in the midst of things not working, there is a place that we run to. Now, for God to be our refuge, for God to be our shelter, for God to be our conqueror, that means we're going to have to face some things that seems impossible, that we don't understand, that we don't know what's going on, but we choose to trust in God, our Savior. If we're going to have that unstoppable destiny, it requires God. We live in a culture today where people have seemed to reach their destiny, and we look at the material things around them, and we look at all the things that people have accumulated and how they've accumulated it. And we say, you know what, that person has reached their destiny. That person has reached what God fulfilled them in their heart to fulfill. And I think there is a power about that that we have to understand and we have to realize. But we must also understand that that's not where the stop is. Those things don't always help us. It's about looking back on our destiny and saying, you know what, God has got me to this place, and it's through Him and Him alone. My second point is simple. Unstoppable destiny requires process. Unstoppable destiny requires process. Exodus chapter 9, 17, verse 9. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Now, so Moses said to Joshua, so God spoke to Moses. Moses then goes, speaks to Joshua. Joshua, they begin to then chooses men to go out and fight. And you see the process begin in this story. You see how it begins to work from one thing to another, to another, to another. In our life, the unstoppable destiny that Christ has put in our life is a process. We have to take a deep breath. We have to realize that God is in control, and it's not going to happen tomorrow. It might not happen a week from now, but if we trust the process, if we do our part and make our choices and put forth effort and focus, then we can see that God is doing things around us. So what does the process look like? That's a good question. One of my questions that I have, I like to see things visual. Do I have any other visual learners in here? I have some. That for me, it helps me out a lot. If somebody just tells me how to put something together, that's not good enough for me. I've really got to be able to see something on paper through notes and things like that. John Maxwell, in his third law of his book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, is the law of process. And he has this quote in there. He talks about boxing in there, and he says this, that champions are not made in the ring. They are merely recognized there. That's true, isn't it? It's really true that champions are not found in the ring. They're really recognized there. There was a lot of stuff that they had to go through, a lot of stuff that they had in the process, but champions are made outside of the ring. Theodore Roosevelt was a boxer. He loved boxing. He created America, or part of the process, into a leading world power. He won the Nobel Peace Prize, and he was president of the United States. And when asked about this stuff, he said, listen, this is a process. I didn't get to where I'm at by overnight. It was a process. Thank you guys for being so patient. I appreciate you. We're going to pray for that lady right there. Would you guys just bow your head? For you guys that don't know about it, that's fine. For you guys that do, you know what I'm talking about. Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, your goodness. We just pray that you touch our sister in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for all the wonderful help that she had. Thank you for all of that, God. Keep your hand upon her, heal her, touch her body, God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a woman over there having a situation, but don't worry. Our staff handles her with grace, and they're gonna handle, get her the attention that she needs outside of the medical attention. But John Maxwell was talking about this, about understanding the process. And if this unstoppable destiny in our life, that's exactly what it is. It's a process. It takes perseverance, and we cannot stop. Here's a cute little quote. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. It's true, isn't it? Think about it. Well, my deal is this. I'd rather go in and stand before Jesus at a snail's pace than stand before Jesus with no pace. The process is one of the most difficult things, because you've got to trust Christ, and you got to trust so many things you don't see. You got to realize that many of the battles that Jesus will put you in and allow to come on your life, because he will test us. He will not tempt us. James says God cannot tempt no man. So he won't tempt us, but he will test us. Many of the tests and trials that we go through is an opportunity for God to really shine his light through us. One of the things that we want to do is we want to try to be ready and do our very best to honor God at all times. And then sometimes whenever God's working through us and he has us in a situation that we don't understand, it really makes us feel uncomfortable because we're used to kind of being in control. Amen? We're kind of used to, we've done everything that we could to kind of be in that place, and then once we're out of control, all of a sudden we find ourselves in a place where we're like, God, why are you leading me here? Why are you doing this? Can I tell you, take a chill pill, take a deep breath, because God's getting ready to do something in your life, and he's getting ready to show his glory through each and every one of us. They were up on top of the hill, and as Moses raised the rod above his head, which there could be all different ways we could go with that about the importance of leadership and different things like that. I don't want to breach that this morning. I'm more concerned with what he did. It was just a simple task. God, I'm going to do what you told me to do, which is raise this above my head, and I'm going to let your grace and glory move in a way that only it can move. See, in the midst of the process, what it is Christ is trying to teach us something. He's trying to put us in a position, he's trying to put us in a place where there's nothing else that we can face. And the only way that this is going to work is if God does what only he can do. Wouldn't you like Joshua to be led by the Holy Spirit? Go pick men to fight in the battle. But we've never fought before. Well, you better choose wisely then, son. Choose wisely. But the Spirit of God moved upon him. And it doesn't say how he selected the men. It's interesting to me that it really didn't matter as long as he was wholehearted and he went and selected the men and did what God told him to do, because it wasn't about the men winning the battle, it was about the Spirit moving upon them so they could win the battle. But Moses, as the leader, had to do what only he could do. Joshua, I know that you're going to go down and you're going to be in hand-to-hand combat, and I'm going to be at the top of this hill with Aaron, her. But if you'll trust me, trust the process, God will allow us to prevail. Third point here is unstoppable destiny requires our cooperation. Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, and his hands were steady until they were going down the sun. And here we see not only do we have to rely on the Holy Spirit and make sure that God is number one in our life, but we also understand the process. You know, we can't rush that process, because that process is teaching us the whole time to know where we're at and to teach us to cooperate with others and with God. I was in college, and I was probably 21 or 22 years old, and my friend David brought a set of boxing gloves that he had had. And he said, "Hey, Matt, you want to go out in this grass field and box?" I said, "That sounds like a great idea. I've never boxed before in my life. I think you can teach me." And he did. Let me tell you, he taught me. I put the boxing gloves on, and I put one on, and I put the other one on, and I'd seen Rocky. I think I've seen up to like the first three Rockies, you know. So I was kind of schooled. I mean, I was almost like at a doctorate level. I mean, I saw both of them at Sylvester Stallone, right? I'm sure I watched a couple other ones too that really propelled me past that, you know. And I'm doing the things and put them on there, and I got my hands up, and I think the fight was over within a couple minutes, man. And I did not win. I just went out there and thought, I can do this, I can handle it. And I remember him hit me a couple times in the face, and then I started guarding my face and I ducked my head, and he thought, okay. So he took that glove and started hitting me in the back of the head, you know. Uncle, I'm done, you know. And I remember that. But I remember that I wasn't even in tune for that. I'd never done that before. I just tried to jump into something, and I didn't have the process behind me. I don't know if God was behind me. That might have been one of the lessons he wanted to teach me. Like, yeah, go ahead. I got a lesson for you here, son. And but I also understand this third one is cooperation, too, and understanding that we can learn from one another and we can learn from God. But here we see this. It was cooperation. So God's, the last thing that Moses heard was, keep your rod above your head. Let me tell you something, guys, with all my heart. If you haven't heard God's voice in a long time, go back to what he told you to do and start there. Because chances are either he's not done with you yet and you're ready to move, but he's not ready to move you, or he's spoken some other things and you started doing what you want to, and that closes out the voice of God in our life. But the last thing he said to do, so that's what they did. They got a rock and pushed it up underneath him. Two of his comrades on either side holding up his arms. And all of a sudden they're in cooperation. And that's a hard thing, because the cooperation of the Holy Spirit, whenever we cooperate with God, it doesn't feel like it feels here on earth. It doesn't feel always like what we need to do. God, you're telling me to go pray, but I really feel like, God, I need to give. You're telling me to go pray, but I feel like I need to show up and serve. Or God, maybe I feel like I need to go pray, but God is telling us to show up and serve. Maybe God is telling us to give, and we feel like we need to go serve. But we have to obey the Spirit of God, because we have to be in cooperation with the Spirit as the Spirit of God leads us from one place to the next. Because God is also orchestrating other people's lives, so what he's doing with us, he's taking us through a season and making us be in a place where he can do something to somebody else. Questions that I have sometimes, I don't know about you guys, and I think they're good questions, is how much of this is me? So we're talking about cooperation with God. How much is it me, and how much of it is God? That's one of the questions that every theologian has ever had. But what we do know is there's some of us, there's something that we have to do with it, and there's cooperation that we have to have. Moses led the children of Israel to the Red Sea. Then he stuck the staff in the sea, or held it up rather. Right before this, they went to turn the bitter waters to sweet waters at Moriah, and it was something only God can do, but they had to help. Then Moses took his rod and he struck a rock, because they were all complaining out in the desert. Did you bring us out here to die? I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day, and he said, you know, Matt, what we learned from Moses is you cannot make everybody happy, but you sure can make everybody mad at you. And if you've ever been in leadership for 10 seconds, you know that's true. That's exactly where Moses, these guys were whining and complaining and moaning and groaning against him. Did you lead us out here to make us die? And all this other kind of stuff that they thought about. How easy it is to forget all the good things that God does for us. He struck the rock. He's the one that struck the rock. God spoke to him and water poured out. Then we see that he was on top of the hill up there, and he kept his staff above his head. And we see that there's a participation with God here, that his arms are being held up, that Joshua that Ben and Hur are behind him and saying, listen, we believe you heard from God, so we're going to lift up your hands. And Joshua went down on the field and began to fight. And we have the same things that we have to pay attention to. We have to listen to the voice of God, and we do have to make good choices. Decisions do determine your destiny to a certain degree, the decisions that are in our life. And we want to be very careful about this, because what happens is as we begin to seek God more and God begins to open up avenues of resources and different things like that, he doesn't open those up so that we can become more blessed in that sense. He wants us to use his blessings for the destiny that he's put on our life, which always includes souls, which is the main focus. And this is the warning, Luke chapter 12, verse 48, to whom much is given, much is expected or required. So as we walk in Christ and he begins to pour out and give us resources that we've never had, he begins to pour out resources into our life, he's going to require a great deal from us. Because to whom much is given, much is required. Because in that unstoppable destiny, God is looking for that conduit. He's looking for those men and women that he can pour his spirit upon and pour his resources upon, and it begins to flow out of them and begins to change and change other people's life for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And what's our part in that? Our part is that we do the very best that we can to honor God. Now, the final thing here is participation with others. Is how do we make sure that we're in cooperation? We do our best to live peacefully among our brothers and sisters. We do our very best to link hands and walk together and hoping that this destiny is something that will continue. And as I end here, it really helps us understand something. Paul helps us grasp this idea of cooperation with God. Understanding that there is a part that we have to play, understanding that he is in our life. And I just want to tell you this morning, you may have a destiny on your life, but apart from God, it is not an unstoppable destiny. You may think you have a destiny and a hope and a future in your life, but apart from God, you simply do not have that. Because God has every good and perfect gift that he wants to pour down on us from above. Now, we have to make sure we take that in context. And I want to invite you, as we close here, that if there's any one of you that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that you can make that right this morning. You have to have God in your corner to continue the unstoppable destiny. Trust the process. Cooperate. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Paul is helping people understand this concept. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So what do we have to do in it? We have to put our faith and hope in Jesus Christ. We have to know that we don't know everything. We have to trust the process. And we have to do our very best to cooperate. And know that our effort is on the line, that our sweat and blood is, tears are on the line, and God sees that. Now, Paul's helping everybody understand that Apollos watered and he planted, but God gave the growth. Verse 7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Well, that's hard to handle, isn't it? But Paul's helping us understand our position in this. That as we walk in unstoppable destiny and we walk in the Holy Spirit covering our lives, that we have to put ourselves in our proper place. Because eventually there will be a cost that will be difficult to pay, and we got to make sure we're in the right position. Greatest example about this, John the Baptist. Cousin of Jesus, baptized our Lord and Savior in the Jordan. I mean, no doubt got to see things that we could only hope to see. Yet he stands before his disciples. He stands before people that he's trying to teach, and he says this famous line that we all know. That he may increase and that I may decrease. Paul's helping us understand that same thing, this unstoppable destiny in our life, to live it to the fullest. It's simply that my will would decrease, God, and yours would increase. John the Baptist eventually led him, he was led to that spot where it cost him everything. Are you going to bow to culture? Or are you going to keep your knee bowed to Jesus? It cost him his head. But see, his destiny rings through the nations even today as we tell stories about him. So it's not meaning to push us down and put his foot on top of us, but helping us understand that, yeah, there is some that we have to do, but the most that is done is by our Lord and Savior. Verse 8, he who plants and he who waters are one. Trying to help us understand that we're all on the same page. We're all earth and clay vessels and we work together. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. God says, you will be rewarded. I see what you do. We're partakers in our own destiny, but we have to do it God's way. We need an unstoppable God on our corner, in our life, in our heart. We have to trust the process, and we have to choose to cooperate the best that we can and participate. And then maybe as Joshua stood there that day, and it said that Joshua overwhelmed the people of Amalek. Man, what a powerful statement. You in a situation, feels like you're being overwhelmed, feels like it's impossible. You feel like, man, I don't even know anymore. Let me encourage you with something. It's not over till it's over, and it's not over yet. Is your heart right with God? Have you missed on the process maybe just a little bit? Have you gotten to that point where you're thinking, man, maybe I hadn't cooperated like I needed to, not only with God, but maybe with people? Hey, we've all been there. We've all done that. The amazing thing is we repent or we change our course of direction and get back in line. But whatever you do, don't reject the destiny that God has for you. And it always starts with salvation. Remember, God doesn't look at a man as a man looks at a man. He looks at your heart. And if your heart's in the right place and you're trying your very best to walk in what God has for you, he will honor that. Would you do me a favor? Would you stand up all over the congregation? We all face different fights and different situations. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a second. If you're in the congregation right now and you say, Pastor Matt, I got to begin with salvation, man. This is where I've got to begin, is with salvation. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I've never invited Jesus Christ into my heart, and today I want to make that commitment. I'm going to count to three. It's not a magic number or anything. It just gives you a signal that, hey, I fought through this. This is what I want to do. One, two, three. That you? Would you just slip your hand up to the sky? We're looking. Thank you. Thank you. Number two, maybe you're in the midst of the process right now. Don't give up on the process. Trust God. Maybe you're looking at something that's impossible. God, I just don't know how I can do this. God, it's this sickness, it's this illness, it's this situation. I want you to know that God's on your side. The destiny that's on your life is greater than the suffering that you're looking at, but you have to trust him. If you're a brother or sister, would you just slip up your hand and say, hey, Pastor Matt, that's me. Man, I'm looking at some stuff here that I need some help with. I'm going to ask our prayer team just to slip down to the front. And as they slip out of their seats, if you need prayer as they slip out, go ahead and slip out of your seats and come down. Maybe it was for salvation. Maybe you're facing a process, a situation. Would you just slip out from your seats? Everybody's head is bowed. We just want to give you time to do that. You need a little bit of extra prayer. God's taking me through some stuff. He's doing some things in my life. Father, our hearts are bowed, and we just want to give time for people to slip out of their seats and walk down. We don't know the difficulties they're facing. We don't know the circumstances, but we know that we can trust you. Some of the other prayer warriors, as people walk down, would you slip out, guys, and come lay your hand on one of these couple's backs, individuals' back up here. Just lay your hand on them. Know that they're there. If you're in your seats, would you stretch out your hand? Father, we thank you for what you're doing at the altars. We take a minute as people come forward for prayer. God, we don't know the circumstance they're facing. We don't know the process, but we know that you're a good God. We know that you're a great God, that you're an honorable God, and you won't leave us like you found us. So, Father, for the ones who's receiving salvation and making you Lord of their life, we celebrate. For our brothers and sisters who are coming down front, God, and they're looking at insurmountable odds. They're looking at the impossible. They're looking at something that says, God, if you don't move in a mighty way, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, God, I pray that you build their faith, that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, God. We stand with our brothers and sisters who've come down at the altar this morning. God, they're looking for their faith to be stronger. They're looking for your courage and your strength, God. Help them to trust that process, God. Help them to walk in a way that they cooperate. Cooperate with you fully. That God, they cooperate with your spirit, your leading, your guiding. As other people try to hold up their arms, God, that your grace and mercy would just prevail in their heart and they would recognize that. Thank you that they are more than conquerors, God. And for everyone in the room, God, you have an unstoppable destiny on their life. Satan can't stop it. Problems and trials can't stop it. God, our decisions are what can stop it. Father, so if we make bad decisions, help us get back on the path to the unstoppable destiny that is in our life. You've rested upon every one of us with it, and we thank you. God, help us to reach souls for your kingdom. Help us to walk in holiness. Help us to walk and chase after you with all of our hearts, we pray. Thank you for these wonderful people in the seats, the wonderful people at the altars. Keep your hand upon them. Let your face shine upon them, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, can you say amen? These guys are going to continue to pray. A little bit of music is playing. You guys are dismissed. We love you. As soon as you go outside, you'll see what's going on out there. If you just walk out that left and give them plenty of space to handle that situation, we appreciate that. You guys are dismissed, and we'll see you tonight at 6 p.m. talking about Jehovah Nissi. We love you guys, and we'll see you.
We are so thankful you joined us today. We would love to hear from you at rayofhopepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how you were encouraged and how we can pray for you. Remember, Christ in you is the hope of glory, and hope changes everything.